We read from Luke's Gospel a little earlier, and we saw that Peter was one of the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It radically changed and transformed his life. He went bringing the good news of that resurrection to others, and he wrote a letter to churches who needed encouragement and needed help. So keep your Bibles open, please, at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to be looking at a few verses 3 and 4, and we'll be reading them in just a minute. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth that has been written down, recorded for us today. Written so that we can read and hear good news, encouragement, and help for our life today. So, Father, we pray that you would speak to us afresh and fill us with living hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how hopeful are you? As tensions increase between Russia and Europe, as wars intensify between Israel and Palestine, as the nations align themselves to world powers, how hopeful are you that we can regain peace? Or as climate patterns change, causing floods and famine, as migration expands and displacement grows, as the people of the world scramble for a better life, how hopeful are you that we can turn things around? Or let's bring it a little bit closer to home. As we face our own health concerns, as we cope with broken relationships, as we live with ongoing struggles and the fear of failing, as we face disappointments of broken dreams and unfulfilled desires, how hopeful are you that you can change it all? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much hope do you have? Well, the world's answer is, hope lies within us. Just dig deep and you will discover that untapped potential that lies within you. With just the right motivation and hope, you can change your life and you can change the world. Well, sorry to burst your bubble. Because no matter how hopeful we might be, we can't seem to change our life, never mind trying to change the world. You see, the greatest threat to our hope for a better world is in here. The various sins that continue to flow and bubble out from the human heart. Greed and lies, hatred and injustice, corruption and racism and revenge and selfishness. All these things come from within. We, humanity, is the problem. You see, if we were to remove every human being from the face of this earth, well, yes, things would change dramatically. It would be a very peaceful place. But that's not really an option, is it? It doesn't sound very hopeful. But there is a solution. There is an answer. There is resurrection hope. Let's read verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is our only source of true hope. And it's God's hope for the world. You see, the resurrection brings life out of death. It provides a new beginning and a fresh start. It guarantees joy and peace forever. Now, before we look at the hope of the resurrection, we need to understand what we mean by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because people can be confused about this. So what do we mean by the resurrection? Well, first, the resurrection is a historical event. It is the true account of Jesus Christ who lived, who died, who was buried, and was raised again from the dead. You see, Jesus Christ was fully human, just like us. He wasn't a spirit floating around or some apparition. He was a physical human being who needed food to eat and drink and needed to sleep. And as a human being, he went through the pain of death and the agony of death. His vital organs gave up. Jesus stopped breathing. Jesus physically died. But yet he also experienced being raised to life. After 3 days of being dead and buried, he breathed again. His lungs filled with oxygen. His heart began to beat. His nervous system began to kick in. And he physically and bodily walked out of a tomb. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a unique, literal, historical event that took place almost 2,000 years ago. But how do we know it is true? Well, it's not just a historical event. It's a proven fact. It's not made up. Do you remember your reading that we had in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, when the women came? They weren't expecting any resurrection. And when they told the men, they said they were like nonsense. Nobody expected it. Nobody knew it was coming. It's not made up. Let me give you the main piece of evidence, the eyewitness accounts, like those women and the men who followed after. Peter Williams is a New Testament scholar. And in his little book called Can We Trust the Gospels, he's grouped together all the eyewitness accounts and he records it like this. You can follow on screen. This is what he says. The resurrected Jesus is recorded as appearing in Judea and in Galilee, in town and countryside, indoors and outdoors, in the morning and in the evening, by prior appointment and without prior appointment, close and distant, up on a hill and down by a lake, to groups of men and to groups of women, to individuals and to groups of up to 500, when he was sitting and standing, walking and eating, and always talking. Can so many diverse eyewitness accounts be wrong? You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is not wishful thinking. It's not the kind of hope where I say, I hope I'm going to win the lotto, or I hope the weather is going to be nice tomorrow. No, resurrection hope is the sure and certain rock-solid foundation on which all of us can build our life. It is the unique and literal truth that saves us from the crushing weight of our own broken lives. So, as we look at 1 Peter, we're going to look at three things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings to us. It'll change your past, your present, and your future. It brings new birth, living hope, and eternal inheritance. So three things the resurrection brings to us. First, it brings new birth. Look at the middle of verse 3. In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Physically, all of us here, this is a fact, we were all born once, right? Do you remember it? Probably not, but you were. But no one is ever born a second time. That's impossible. You can't re-enter the womb of your mother. However, God gives us a new birth, a new spiritual birth. We are given a new life, a new start, a new beginning. Something that we all long for. You see, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a new birth. Well, how does that happen? Well, I'm going to turn to Romans. You can follow on screen, or you can turn to it, Romans chapter 6. I'm just going to read a couple of verses there. This will help us to understand how we can have new birth because of the resurrection. Chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him, that's with Jesus, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Through faith in Jesus Christ, which was expressed through baptism, we are united to Jesus. That means his life becomes my life. So when Christ died, I can say I also died. When Christ was raised, I can say I was also raised. You see, just as God gave life to the dead body of Jesus, so God has given to us new life in Jesus. His life is now my life. I now live a new way. Let's go back to 1 Peter with that in mind. You see, all that means is that my past is now covered. It has been dealt with. Through the death of Christ, all my sins have been punished in Christ. And all my sins have now been forgiven by Christ. My past can no longer be held over me or against me. It is now dead and buried with Christ. And now I have been raised up to live a new life with Christ and for Christ. Just as God gave life to the dead body of Jesus, just as Jesus walked out of the tomb and lives forevermore, so God gives us new life, a fresh start, a new beginning. We can now walk a new way by the power of the Spirit. You see, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, I am given new birth My past is covered over. Well, not only do we have new birth, we also have living hope. Did you see it there in verse 3? In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, the new birth is just the start. It's just the beginning. But our fear is that somehow we're going to wreck and destroy the new life that Christ has given us, that my ongoing sin and my failure is going to somehow crash and burn the fresh start that he gave me. We live with this overwhelming concern that we're not going to be able to live up. We're not going to be able to keep going. But look what it says in verse 3. He has given us new birth into a living hope. Not a dead hope, but a living hope. You see, just as Jesus now lives, my hope lives. Just as Jesus will never die again, so our hope is never ever going to die. This new beginning, the fresh start, this new birth goes and lives forever. You see, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a living hope. Let me show you how this works. Just go forward to chapter 3. Verse 21, chapter 3 and verse 21. Down at the second part of verse 21, again, he's been talking about baptism, which is an outward expression of our faith and how that faith saves you. So it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. So when Christ rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And the risen Lord is now in the position of absolute power and supreme authority. He has power over everyone and everything. As it says in verse 22, all peoples, everything, all authorities and powers submit to him. So Jesus is risen into a position of all power and authority for you. His power is living and active, and it's ensuring that your hope will remain. Now, all of this means that your present hope is secure. We have a living hope that cannot be taken from us. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Because his power is at work for us. Look at verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Our new life is guarded. Our hope is secure. Just as a bank secures its treasure in a deep vault down into the bottom and puts a great big safe around it and puts guards and all the protection that is there, so in a sense we are shielded by God's power. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is now a power at work to keep you and secure you. Now, that doesn't mean to say nothing bad is going to happen to you. We will face all kinds of trials and temptations. But nothing and no one, no outside force, no personal failure can ever destroy your hope, not even your sin. not any suffering, not even Satan himself can rip you or take you from your living hope. You see, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a living hope. So new birth, living hope, and third, an eternal inheritance. What happens when we die? Because that day will one day come. Won't death destroy our new birth? When death visits us, won't it take our living hope? Absolutely not. Read with me verse 3 and 4 again. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Do you see that unbroken progression? We're given new birth into a living hope and into an eternal inheritance through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. In fact, we have an inheritance, verse 4, that is never going to perish, spoil, or fade. Through the risen Jesus, we have an eternal life to come. How does that happen? How could that possibly be true for you and for me? Well, through the resurrection, Jesus Christ destroyed the grave. Through the resurrection, Jesus Christ crushed death to death. Death has been defeated. It has been obliterated. It has no hold or power over to you if you are trusting in Christ. Just as Christ rose physically and bodily from the dead, so one day we will rise physically and bodily from the dead. This new birth, this living hope, is just the beginning of something that will never, ever end. Do you see what it says in verse 4? It will never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade. Can you imagine what that will be? A world untouched by the pain and heartache of death. A world unspoiled by selfish, evil actions of people. A world that is unfading through the course of time and seasons. This is our resurrection hope. Death will be no more. Evil will be banished. Suffering will be removed. Our future is assured because Jesus is alive. Nothing and no one can take it from us. Why? Well, look at the end of verse 4. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's kept for you. You may have had the experience of having to write out your will, your last will and testament, a legal and binding document sealed until the day of your death, when it will be opened and it will all be revealed to the inheritor. Well, our eternal inheritance has been sealed and secured by the resurrection of Jesus. It is kept for us. No one and nothing can take it from us. One day when the risen Lord Jesus returns, we will experience our new birth and living hope in all its fullness. Heaven has been kept for you, and you are kept for heaven. You see, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have an eternal inheritance. So let me ask, is this your hope? Is this your hope today? Have you experienced resurrection hope? This rock solid foundational truth on which you can build your life today and forever? The resurrection of Jesus Christ alone gives you new birth that covers all your past. It gives you a living hope that secures all your present. And it gives you an eternal inheritance that assures and guarantees your future. Is this your hope? Well, this hope is ours today because, have you noticed what we've been saying all along the middle of verse 3? In his great mercy, he has given us, he has gifted you new birth, living hope, and an eternal inheritance. What do you do to earn this? What do you have to do to have this? In his great mercy, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He gives us the gift of the resurrected Christ, received by faith and kept for all eternity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is your gift today. Trust him. Believe him, and he will hold you fast today and forevermore. Let's pray. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit, for life today. Amen.